kind of still lagging behind a little bit, but eventually I'm going to catch up. Eventually I'm going to catch up, and that's what God promised us. We'll all catch up, right? Not really catch up, but we'll get it. We will get it. If we pursue God, we will get it. You know, this last month we've been talking about Ezekiel and the river, and a couple of weeks ago Nikki was talking about how we shouldn't judge, but we should have mercy, and you know, things are happening even in the midst of our body, you know, and that just hits me really hard. We should walk around with an attitude and a spirit of mercy rather than judging, because we don't know what the situation always looks like, right? We don't know, but when we step into judgment, we move God out of the equation, and we're like, well, you wait a little bit because we got this. We got this. And God's like, no, he wants us to be merciful, because we can all step into areas of our lives where we need brothers and sisters around us. So it was just that's one of my thoughts this last month about walking around in mercy and you know, walking in love. Love gives away. Just like Nikki said this morning, we give it away, we don't expect anything back. But I step into that sometimes where I want something back. Come on, I just want something back. I'm loving. I'm not the greatest person to love, but I feel like I'm doing an okay job with that. But there's something I want back. I want something back. And God's like, nope, it's not what I called you to do. I called you to love. So sharing that, to share this morning, I just want to just touch on a few things. In my life, I am at a place in my life where I'm learning and I'm embracing a relationship with God, truly being fully in relationship with Him. And there's nothing more edifying, there's nothing more loving, there's nothing more satisfying than to know that you are the apple of His eye. It's just, I don't know how to portray it out there yet, or I'm stepping into that, but it's doing something in me. I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, He paid the ultimate price for each one of us, and it's done, right? It's done. The price for sin has been paid. It's done. We don't have to bring it up, look at it. It's done. Now, moving forward, our eyes, He's desirous our hearts and our eyes to be focused on Him. Because when we step into that, we step into a place of love and looking at somebody and not having judgment and things and judging people for where they're at and what they're doing. So I have this, it's out of Mark chapter 10, starts in verse 46. It's the story about blind Bartimaeus. And this is how it reads. I'm in the, I was in the message. I'm in the message, and it reads like this. They spent some time in Jericho. As Jesus was leaving town, trailed by His disciples and a parade of people, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting alongside the road. When he heard that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, mercy, have mercy on me." Many tried to hush him up, but he yelled all the louder, "Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped in his tracks. "Call him over," he said. They called him. "It is your lucky day. Get up. He is calling you to come." Throwing off his coat, he was on his feet at once and came to Jesus. Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "On your way," said Jesus, "your faith has saved and healed you." In that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. I want to highlight just a few things in this passage. It says, Jesus was leaving the town. So on his way out of town, and I was just portraying it back into, tying it into church life. Jesus was on his way out of, from church Sunday afternoon, going to go out. And there was somebody out there that said, hey, I see something in you, I need something. I need something, right? So that's the first thing I want to highlight. The second thing, and I feel this is very important to us, the man cried out, Jesus, Son of David. Now you have to understand, in that day, in that age, to call some, or to the Messiah was coming through the lineage of David, right? So Son of David, this man proclaiming Jesus, Son of David, he's actually seeing Jesus as the Messiah. He knows, but he's blind, so he never saw him, but he knows that this is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. So he's crying out, and he has this encounter. Even before Jesus spoke a word, he had this encounter with the Messiah. And that is for all of us. We have, we cry out, but Jesus, like, I want you to know who I am. I want you to see who I am. So at times, there's things that's hindering us, and we can't see him for who we are. I had a discussion this morning with somebody, and I heard things being said that, yeah, well, you know, we all step into these things. We love God, but I don't understand why he took my dad. I don't understand why. So we serve the God that we know. But Jesus is saying, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Know me, and you will be set free from these things. And I feel like I'm in a place of my life right now where I'm getting to know. I don't understand everything, but I'm getting to know. We just sang the song this morning, to know the heart of God. We get to know the heart of the Creator, the one that is telling me, I have created you from the beginning of time. I know every hair on your head. You are wonderfully and perfectly known. I am starting to get to know this person. So, move the VR. And then the third thing I would like us to see, or to ponder on, is once Jesus called him over, immediately this guy stood up and he threw his coat off. It says here, they called him, it's your lucky day, get up, he's calling you to come. The guy stood up and he was throwing off his coat. He was on his feet at once and came to Jesus. Now, to me, that's very interesting. Now, why would he throw his stuff down to go to Jesus? I'm thinking, once we hear that call, once we have that burning desire inside of us, we leave things behind because we know there's going to be a different outcome. There's going to be something different inside of us that we don't need what we had because there's something new. And I love what you said about there's a new season. There's a new season upon all of us. There's something new that God is doing inside of our lives that is making us hungry, that is allowing us to burn even though we don't feel it, but there is something stirring and we are burning and it's getting hotter and it's getting hotter. And the desire to preach His name, to talk about Jesus everywhere we go, it's not evangelism, it's not whatever you're trying to make it to be, it's just because there's good news. He's good all the time. He's so good that people... there's a desire for me to people to know what I know. I don't know a lot, but I know what I know is what I know. I know that He's good. I know that He's good. I know that He's good. The second part I want to share with you guys is Luke 17, 11 to 19. I need to pull it up here. Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. It happened that as he made his way toward Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 men, all lepers with him, met him. They kept their distance but raised their voices, calling out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Taking a good look at them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful he couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were there not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up on your way. Your faith has healed you and saved you." And I want to pull something out there again in that verse is Jesus was coming into. Yeah, we come into church every Sunday, right? We leave every Sunday. And this is just an analogy that I'm using. And then Jesus came into. And there are people in church, and I'm in this church. There are people in church today that loves God, but still lives a part of a sinful life. Meaning, I love God, but I watch pornography. I love God, but I'm cheating on my wife. I love God, and we love the God we know. We love the God we know. We are taught that God loves all of us, but then somehow there's an obscurance taking place, and we love the God. We love God. There's no doubt in my mind and my heart that you love God. But you are taught a way that is obscure, that is not the real God. That's not the real God that we serve. And I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about myself too. It's not the real God that we serve. But when we start stepping into relationship with God, all those things that we throw down, the have-tos, the must, the woulds, the coulds, the shoulds, you have to do these things, falls away. It becomes something where, man, I just want to share. I just want to share because he's so good. He is so good. And there are people in church that needs to know that. Because we can all sit here with smiley faces and say life is good, but there's that one or that two things that keeps us from really pursuing who he is. Knowing God for who he is. He says, "I've came to give you life and life in abundance." He's here to give us life, and life that will just push us into the midst of crowds, the midst of people out there, into their hurt, because we have the antidote. We have the solution. We have hope. We can give people hope. With Nikki shared this a couple of months ago, that hope is alive, and hope says one more time. One more time. And we have that. And we can tell people, you know what? Addiction is not, it's not who you are. But you know what? This is who you are. And we can start speaking the truth of what the living God is saying over them. You know, so I just want to leave that with you guys this morning. There's a relationship that God is calling each one of us. And once we hear that cry, and once we truly, and I'm not saying we're not. That's for you to judge, and that's for you to figure out. I'm just saying he's calling us into that place of relationship where he's saying, "Hey, I want to show myself to you." And then I can say, "I don't need these things anymore. I don't need what I've been taught is great. What I've learned is great, but there's something new. There's a new thing that God is doing, and he's showing himself true to us." You know, because that's one of the things that I feel like that is hindering us. We've been taught so much for 40 years. This is what I know. This is how it is. This is how I do worship. But he's saying, no, there's something new. It's not new. It's old. It's all in. But I'm renewing it in you. I'm renewing your pursuit after me. I'm renewing your hunger after me. I'm renewing those things inside of you. And there's a guy by the name of Bill Johnson. I don't know if you know about him. But he says, when we eat regular food, we get to a place where we get full. And then we have to go eat again. But Jesus said that I'll give you a food that you'll never hunger from. I'll give you a water that you'll never thirst from. So I don't agree fully. No, I'm just kidding, because there's a donut from Krispy Kreme. It's got a hole in the middle, and it's like puff. It's like you can eat and 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 not get full, because it's just so fluffy. You can't, you know. So I'm just, that's just a kidding point there, but yeah, so he's giving us these things. He's inviting us into those places of relationship. He's saying, you know what? I want you to really know me. I want you to really know me. I want you to really know me. Yeah, forget about the stuff. Forget about what you've been taught. What you've been taught is a foundation, but you know what? I'm in relationship, and I feel like that's what God is calling me to or has been showing me, and I feel like he's doing that in the church today, that he's calling people into that intimate relationship. When I first got saved, a few years after I got saved, I asked Nikki one night, I said, hey, what does intimacy look like? And she's like, I'm not going to tell you. I'm like, well, that's rude. You're a Christian, but you're not going to tell me how you get there. What do you do? And a couple of weeks later, she came back to me. And she said she felt like the Lord wanted to show me him, and he wanted to show me intimacy through him, what he sees me doing and how I get to that place. And you know, there are spurts that I get to that place of intimacy, but it's good. It's something that he's shown me that I can go back to and say, you know what, God, I want more of that. I want more of that. The place of intimacy is not locking yourself, close yourself up to the world. It's a place where he's inside of us. He's living inside of us. And it's like, God, wherever I am, I'm so intimate in relationship with you. It doesn't matter. People have to see, because it's him in us, the hope of glory. It's him through us that people see. You know, we don't fade away. Unfortunately, we don't just fade away and they see Jesus in us, because there's no way I look that good. There's no way that I look that good. But what he is doing in and through us, that's the fruit, and the fruit that remains. That's the things that the world is looking for. That's the thing that my fellow Christian brother and sister is looking for. And I, from them, they carry fruit that we all need. So to wrap this up, to just keep you encouraged, he is calling us to a deeper sense of relationship. We sang Deep Cries Out to Deep. And I didn't understand that when I first got saved. Linnea sang that song over and over and over, Deep Cries to Deep. And I try to imagine myself, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. But I'm getting to a place where it's like, wow, yeah, deep is crying out to deep. The hunger for God. He is the one, like Nikki said this morning, he is the one that keeps us. If we're asking, he's the one that's doing it. We can't do it in and ourselves. Matt had a prayer the other day. God, it's you. You have to be the one to do it. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do it. We'll go through cycles. We'll go through cycles. Because we can get excited, and then 4 weeks from now, excitement carries or falls off, and we're back to the, oh, it's me, or this or the other. But when he starts interjecting, and when he starts showing up, and when he starts, he's the one that's doing it. And that's something we can grab onto. That's something we can step into. That's something where Scripture says, now your mind is being renewed. It doesn't just talk about reading Scripture every day. It talks about being in relationship with him. It talks about when you read Scripture, God, what are you saying? I want to know what you say. Wow. Wow. He threw his garment off. Oh, wow. He actually called you son of David. Why is that? Because he's seeing you as the Messiah. It's like, those are things. It's not reading Scripture and get intellectually wise. It's about reading and finding out, like the diamond, like, wow, you're good. You're this. It's like, I feel like, again, just to be encouraged or trying to encourage you guys, that wherever you are in the circle of life right now, wherever you are with your walk with Christ right now, know that he's the one that is leading and guiding you. Know that he's the one that is wooing you and pulling you closer. And I pray that God will give us all that discerning moments when he's the one that is pulling us so close that we can say, okay, what are you saying? What are you saying? What do you want me to do? Meaning, what else can I get rid of? Because the world, if we don't get things from God, where else do we get it from? If we don't get things straight from the Word of God, because he's the ultimate teacher, right? There's no two teachers. We get taught by human beings that walks in relationship with God. And there are good things that is solid, and there are good things that we build a foundation on. But there's only one teacher. And it's Jesus. And he will teach us. But if we don't get it from him, where else are we getting stuff from? We are trained by the world. And we do things worldly. We do things in a worldly manner, loving the God that we know rather than the God who is, that said, I am who I am. So I just want to leave you guys with that. Lord, we just thank you for this day. I thank you, God, what you are sharing this morning reigns true, and it just saturates every heart and every mind, God. I thank you that we can share, we can release the seed, but you are the one that waters it, and you are the one that is faithful to walk through that and allow us to know you in a greater way. So God, I just ask that you would just keep your head of protection over each and every one of us. Lord, I don't want to take those things for granted, because those are things that you already do. But I ask that you would allow our eyes to see the things that you are doing, that our ears would hear about the things you are doing, and our hearts receiving the things that you do. So Lord, everyone, yeah, I just release a blessing, Lord, and I release love over each and every one of them, God. And I ask that you would encounter us in revelation and understanding and in wisdom, God, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we would start stepping into the mind of Christ and start opening our eyes to see you for who you really are, God, and that will transform our hearts and our minds into the likeness of who you are. We just thank you, we love you, and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.